well, in their entertainment, let's say, that they have to provide more of their own rather than it being provided for them, like here in America.
Yeah.
And I mean, with recreation, in the sport they play.
Yeah, I guess it is that way, that here in America they have, the schools make so much about, they have so a lot of things they have to go with in their classes and so, about dancing and what they have all. And we don't have that in Germany so much. We have more, we have to do it ourselves if we want to do something. It's not, here it's, everything is ready and they got so into it, you know, and it's so different.
Yes, I would agree with, exactly. I would say that the entertainment is, here again, generally speaking, much less sophisticated over in Germany especially. I remember one afternoon we had gone to a choir concert at one of the churches, one of the Lutheran churches there in Germany, and afterwards all of the young people got together, and in a game that our young people would consider ridiculous, our high school people of our age, they had a terrific time. It was a circle game. Wo bist du, Jakob, or
Rachel. Right,
they just had a terrific time playing an ordinary circle game.
Yeah.
The entertainment is a little less sophisticated.
That's what we do. You know, when we, from our school, I belong to a church there, and we had the young people group, and that's what we did. That's the game with UMass, and we played a lot, and we had a wonderful time, and that's, I miss that here. They don't have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when there was an evening, you know, we saw a film or something like that, and then we get together, and first we were talking about that film and what we think about it, and then after that, when we say we're finished with that, we start a game or something like that.
You mentioned a young people's group at your church. Is this a great part of the life of the young person, the young people's group, in connection with the local church in his town?
I would say not most of them. This group are about maybe 50 young people, you know, and they're pretty active there, but usually it's not so much. These groups are not so much connected with the church. That where I went, it was, but
not as a rule.
No, it's not. They're more kind of sport groups and something like that, you know. But this, where I went, that was from the church, and we had a real nice building there where we could go and have places where we could talk or do something else.
The young people's group at the church where I went for maybe four Sundays when we were in North Germany, was very active. They didn't have perhaps the type of national organization that we have in our Walther League, but they had a very active group in this church. This is interesting that they knew more about Walther than my friend and I did. They knew more about the history of the church in America, the Lutheran church, as it came over here with Walther and so forth, than actually a lot of our own young people do. They're very interested in this. The Saxon immigration and so forth. And
we learned that at school. You know, I learned about this at school and about second year high school or so. And you learned that in history because that's the fundamental thing of our history. And that's what we learned then, so they know about it.
The role that the church plays in the life of the young person. Is there, on the average, or as a rule, of course, we're talking in generalities here, but does the church have an influence, a great influence, in the lives of young people?
No, I should say not that much than I think it's over here. I don't know, it's different with me, but usually they don't have so much influence on the young people. And they're real nice groups, and they're real active, but that's
divided in a way.
Yeah, it is. These people do it, and the other ones don't at all. You know, that's a real, what do you call that? pod, is that right?
Real,
dividing, a big
difference, a big difference.
That's what I mean.
Uh-huh. Well, John, when you were there and the churches that you visited, did you notice that there were many young people in the congregation? I think, for example, in our own country, when we go to a church, we often see whole families with young babies, grammar school children, on up to high school, many young people. Was it the same way in the churches you visited there?
The youngest group of young people, the grade school children, you couldn't help but notice they all had to sit in one place in the church, way up in front, together.
Oh.
And they had to rise when the pastor came in. All of the young people get up. The old folks didn't have to do it, but the young people rose when the pastor came in.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the high school and, say, university people, I must say that I didn't see too many of them in church.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was an unnatural situation there in the church that I attended in North Germany or whether it was natural, but they had an active youth group that met on Sunday nights, but on Sunday morning you didn't see too many of them.
That's right. That's right. You don't see so much. That's what I was wondering about when I came over here, that we don't, this boys and girls go to college. In Germany, you don't see that much in church. And I know what the reason for that is, when they finish high school or finish college, when you get to take a job in Germany, you're filled up with it, really. That's what I myself found out. There was a time when I finished high school and started to work that I must have stopped my work and my activity in church because I really didn't have time at night. And so it fills you up, really. We work 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time.
When you're studying or working for a certain job, everything is geared and directed to make you capable in this particular job.
That's right.
And then you cut out all of your, or most of your social activities.
That's right. For at least that long until you're ready. You know, most German girls and boys have to have an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And that fills the hours. You have to go to school at night and work the whole day over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
And many things stop there in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested in knowing, Tekla, whether you think, by and large, the young people in Germany are more serious-minded than perhaps the young people here. I think this is one characteristic that I noted. Possibly they're largely caused by the war years, is that the young people have seen suffering and they know hardship, and they are a little bit more serious-minded than perhaps many of
our own. I guess you're right, because I was born in the war, and I was only 5 years old when the war went over. But you're right, they hear so much about war and all these terrible things happen there. And I think that's the reason why they're more serious, and their parents raise them more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you're right, but I noticed that too. Here they are more free, they can do everything, and they don't know about things like our parents couldn't get any clothes for us after the war, and so they always had a thing to worry about. And so
mm-hmm.
they are young children, they feel that.
The seriousness of the parents
they
come into the children.
Yeah, that's it.
And yet on the other hand, something that also impresses an American in, say, Germany again, really impresses one, is the singing that the young people do.
Mm-hmm.
As they traveled, each little group had a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And they would stay in these youth hostels, and at night the whole group would get around the man with the guitar,
mm-hmm.
and they would sing. Maybe for 2 hours they would sing. Just folk songs, ballads, Tom Dooley,
mm-hmm.
and have a great time doing this. Also in church, many of the young people, the high school
mm-hmm.
people, play in the brass band that many congregations have for services.
Mm-hmm.
And you get together maybe monthly for a sacred music concert of brass band music.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy their music there, and this gives you hope for a group that is perhaps a little more serious-minded. Still, they can enjoy things like music, and have a good time with these things in life.
Yes, I think that's right, because in this church I was, they had a real nice group. They came each week, once a week they came together and sang those songs, and then maybe after a couple of months they have a kind of a concert,
mm-hmm.
and everybody enjoys that, and I think that's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm. Tegla, maybe we could learn something here from you. I was wondering what was the biggest difference that you have noticed between young people in America and young people in Germany. Maybe something that has irritated you a little bit about American young people. Maybe we can, if you would let us know, we could improve.
Yeah, I could say that now. It's a big difference because, like we mentioned before, and John did too, they are more serious, and they the young people over here are, I don't know, they're not that deep like the Germans are, and I would say it's better, maybe in one way it's better. They are they have it easier, and it makes easier for them by the parents and by the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They get everything, and mm-hmm. they don't have things to worry about, and so they
are more carefree, I think, is what you're...
Carefree?
Yes. This is the attitude of American youth, more so than in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's right, but I think kind of,
it can be good and bad.
But no, I think I like it over here very much. And there are a couple of things I really don't like. And I think, but that's I think when you, like John said already, when you look for something, you can find.
Mm-hmm.
I have great hopes for both. Both sides.
Right.
I think each has its own contribution to make to the future generation, largely shaped by its own culture and its own environment.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very disappointed if we would find European and American young people to be exactly the same. And I think each in its own way has great promise.
I guess so. That's real good. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I'd like to thank you, John and Tekla, for giving us some of your observations, each of the other's country, the young people in that country. And I hope that by our discussion here, we have learned some things that will be of help to us. I'd like to wish you success, John, at the seminary, and you, Tegla, at Washington University. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bennett, for bringing these two students to our microphone to discuss culture and youth activities in Western Europe and America. The moderator of this program was Tom Bennett. Now, this is Pastor Walter Groshin inviting our radio audience to join us again next week for Youth Finds the Way on Sunday, 12 to 1.
This is Pastor Walter Groshin introducing today's edition of Youth Finds the Way. Today we resume our series of programs prepared by the Mass Communications class of Concordia Seminary, taught by Mr. John Fitzer. The particular topic for today is Youth Talks About Foul Language, and here to introduce the discussion is the moderator, Robert Stallman.
The scene may be a teenage party. One boy looks to see if adults or girls are near. And then one of the other boys says, "Have you heard the latest joke?" A girl is trying to get a group of girls to believe what she is saying is true, and so she takes an oath. A boy is building something, and as he hits his finger with a hammer, he expresses his pain in words. Dirty jokes, swearing, cursing, this is foul language. Foul language is common everywhere today. We hear it in the movies, in television, on the radio. We see it in magazines, in books, and newspapers. People tell us that this is the realistic approach. because it shows human beings as they really are. And by this they would have us understand that foul language is also used by the youth. I asked the high school Bible classes of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wood River, Illinois, for their opinions in this matter. The first question I asked was, is the use of foul language common among the youth of today?
I think that it's very strong among the youth these days, because it around school and in the outside life, you just hear it all the time. Well, I don't believe that it's so much in the church. Although I know a lot of youth who are members of the church that will use this type of language.
Funny as Bill Hurt. It's more than common. It's the everyday thing. I mean, people feel if they don't swear, they're not in. They don't work.
My name is Marilyn Cantor. I think it is. I can't say that there's any one of us who hasn't been awfully tempted to use it at times. I think it's more prevalent among the high school group than the post-high school group. I think so. I think it's more of a fad. The temptation in the high school group is more so than in the post-high school group.
This was the view of some of the youth whom I asked. I also asked the youth counselor how common he thought this use of foul language was among the youth.
I am Tommy Crowder, the high school Bible class teacher and Lost League counselor. In our local youth group, I haven't noticed any language that is slang, too much slang or cursing or swearing. But I make it a point to attend a lot of the high school functions, ball games and so forth, and I have noticed boys and girls both using swearing and cursing at the games.
Thus, the general impression is that foul language is common among the youth of today. The next question is, why is foul language so common? Or what causes the youth to use this language? Some of the young people had this to answer.
My name is Richard Hannon Camp. Just expressing himself, I think it gets the point across clear.
My name's Dean Palmer. Well, one thing I think is it starts maybe in the homes of some people. I mean, they hear their parents say it. And then another thing, you get a group of boys together, or even girls sometimes, and one will start using foul language, and they just, I don't guess they think that they're part of the group unless they do too. Well, they think you're supposed to be kind of odd if you don't. I mean, you're just different if you don't do it. And most of the kids that I know that use it, their parents go along with them half the time. I mean, I haven't ever heard of any of them forbidden it. There are not very many.
My name is Nona Crowder. Well, I think that they use it to show off a little bit and to show their authority, that they're older. I think they're a little bigger. I think the freshmen and sophomores would use it a little bit, but it's mostly in juniors and seniors, I think.
The older ones more than the younger ones. I mean, the older ones are, every other word is a cuss word. I think they influence the younger ones to go ahead and do it because they feel they're trying to be big shots when they do it.
Foul language is used by youth because it may be due to group influence, or it may be a fad. But one of the members had this to say about psychology and the answer that psychology has.
Well, from a psychological viewpoint, cursing is a way of letting off your frustrations. It's usually a complex, I'd say an inferiority complex, where you want to show your authority. And also, I think I disagree with Gene, because if you talk to some kids and you say, well, do you use this language in front of your parents? They say, oh my gosh, no, my parents would kill me if they heard. Well, they say it too, but you know, they don't want me to say it. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand this. No, I don't think from a psychological viewpoint it's not wrong, because it's a way of letting off your emotions.
This brings us to our next point. Is the use of foul language wrong? Psychology would say no.
Other people, particularly those in industry, seem to have mixed feeling in this respect. This can be seen by the different answers to the questions of whether industry feels that the use of foul language is wrong.
Our company posts a set of rules, and one of these rules reads that if an employee uses profane or obscene language, it is a violation of this rule and subject to dismissal.
One of the other members of this group said that his factory had no rules about the use of foul language. But what is the Christian view of the use of foul language? In answer to this question, I received the following answers.
My name is Ruth Hahnenkamp. Oh, yes, from a Christian viewpoint, it's very wrong. But I think a Christian feels much differently about it when he curses, because he knows he shouldn't do it, and if he's frustrated, he'll feel an emotion to do something that is different or wrong. And once he has uttered something that he knows is wrong, he feels so differently about it, he doesn't know really whether to ask forgiveness or just to let it go, or doesn't really know what to do. Yes, I think it would be easier the second time. I don't think it would lead to such drastic use of that kind of language unless his environment would change or there was some other problem that influenced his feeling, and then he sort of really wasn't as strong a Christian as he was before, and then it might become fatal.
My name is Jerry Cruz. No, I don't think it would, because it would have an influence on other people, and it would reflect on the church and give them the wrong view of our church.
As Christians, we know that we are not to use foul language. We know this because God tells us this in his commandment when he says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Luther would explain that in these words: "We should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon his name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks." And the Apostle Paul also writes in his letter to the Philippians, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." What can we do to refrain from using foul language? This is what the Bible classes at St. Paul's Lutheran Church do.
We have had lessons and discussions concerning swearing and what's the motive for it and purposes.
This is one answer as to how we can refrain from using foul language. Another answer would be to discuss this problem with one another in the light of God's Word. And thirdly, we should pray God that he would help us keep our language clean. I wish to thank the high school Bible classes of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wood River, Illinois, for their discussion. This is your moderator, Robert Stolman.
Thank you, Mr. Stolman, for bringing your guest to our microphone to discuss youth talking about foul language. Next week, the series of programs by the Mass Communications class of Concordia Seminary will center on the topic, Youth, Their Attitudes, and Their Pastor. And this is Pastor Walter Grotrian inviting our radio audience to join us again next week for Youth Finds the Way on Sunday, 12 to 1.